Luke chapter 19 on our journey through the Word today, and the story of one of the greatest dates in world history. Though it may have passed unnoticed by much of the world, it would seem that there was a great big star on this date on God's wall calendar. Several major prophecies from all over the Old Testament point to this one day, the day the king made his royal entrance to the capital city of his kingdom. But first, a story about the power of forgiveness. Some of my favorite stories to hear are the true testimonies of changed lives, lives radically altered by the love of Jesus. I've heard stories from ex-addicts, ex-thieves, ex-liars, ex-adulterers, ex-self-righteous religious, ex-extremists, ex-gangbangers, ex-Raiders fans, ex-you name it, Jesus can heal it, testimonies of his power. Though I'm kidding about the Raiders fans. Mostly. But these are the stories I love. These are the stories that give me hope for every kind of sinner and remind me that God loves everyone. The story in Luke 19 is about a man that most people probably hate, especially religious people, and for good reason. He's a tax collector, a chief tax collector. He got rich by making everyone else poor. Let that sink in. His name is Zacchaeus. You might remember the story. He's a short man, and he climbs up in a tree ahead of the crowd and waits for Jesus to pass. And in verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, you have to feel this scene. The locals know Zacchaeus is the worst, greedy traitor. And Jesus just walked home with him. What? Guest of a sinner? It is a hard thing to truly reckon yourself with the love of Jesus for sinners. But don't read this wrong. Jesus doesn't visit Zacchaeus to approve of his greed. He intends to save him and change him. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Well, what do you know? Zacchaeus is a new man. You can argue with doctrine, you can argue with miracles, but some of the strongest evidence that Jesus is Savior is the testimony of changed lives. Jesus declares his salvation, and in verse 10, one of the key verses in this whole book, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus came to seek, to look diligently. He came to save, to rescue from danger. And that saving is for lost people. Stinking, dirty, sinful, going every which wrong way but right, lost people. Zacchaeus was lost. Some people don't like the term lost. But as for me, I was totally lost. I was clueless about direction or destination. This I know. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Next up, verse 11 brings us another parable. Pay attention again to why Jesus tells it and who he tells it to. That's key. According to verse 11, many people in Jerusalem believed that the kingdom of God was about to appear. In other words, they thought Jesus was just about to be proclaimed king. And wouldn't that just solve all their problems? Kick out Caesar, boot King Herod, fix all the political issues, and bring peace to the land. After all, many Old Testament prophecies promise such a kingdom. But here, that's not the plan yet. That's for Jesus' second coming. Still future. Still gotta wait. There's a good lesson for us here. Sometimes we just want Jesus to fix all our problems outside. You know, make my world right, bring peace all around us. But it doesn't work that way yet. So to help us understand how this does work, he tells a parable in verse 12. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So the nobleman is to be appointed king. But notice, he goes far away to become king and then return. Why far away? Why not become king at home? And before he leaves in verse 13, so he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. put this money to work, he said, until I come back. A mina is about 3 months' salary. But why leave? And why the big pay advance? Think about it. How is the king to know which of his servants is truly loyal? Everyone is faithful when the king is watching. It's how you behave when the boss is away that truly speaks. The man leaves, and many declare they don't want him to be king. Look around your world. Jesus left, and lots of people proudly pronounce they don't want him to be king. But what about you? What did he give you, and what are you doing with it while he's gone? Not because he's here and watching, but simply because he's king. Back in the parable, verse 15. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money, in order to find out what they had gained with it. Well, some were faithful to work and to invest, and brought back much more. And the master rewards them. Instead of money, he sets them over cities. Why? Because he can trust them. He knows he can trust them because they were faithful with the little things while he was away. Other servants did nothing, and what they had was taken away. Now remember, Jesus tells this parable to people who want him to set up his kingdom here and now. Fix my world now. The lesson for us? Don't wait until he fixes the world before you help your world. Be faithful now, and he will reward you then. Then, at verse 28, it finally happens. The triumphal entry. We call it Palm Sunday. So important is this one day that God gave prophecies in Daniel 9:24, Zechariah 9:9, and Psalm 118. In other words, it's a day that God does not want his people to miss. The day of the grand entrance of the king in great triumph, entering his city, Jerusalem. And yet his entrance begins with a small errand for two disciples. Go to the village ahead and find a colt, a donkey's colt. No great horse, no chariot procession, a donkey. Not much to look at, rather humble. Interesting, in some cultures, a king entering on a donkey is a proclamation of peace. Jesus hops on, and in verse 36, as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Picture the scene. The Mount of Olives is a somewhat steep hillside, and directly across the Kidron Valley, in full view, is Jerusalem. Here on the mount, the grand celebration, shouts of joy and exclamations of praise. Do you hear their words echoing from the hillsides? Blessed is the King. Peace in heaven. Some Pharisees are concerned. Proclaiming a king is an invitation for trouble with Rome. Rebuke your disciples. But in verse 40, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. There simply is no quieting this proclamation. The rocks would sing it. Jesus is King, and he brings peace. But look carefully at verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Can you see the tears streaming down Jesus' face? If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Wow, Jesus weeps. Why? Because the people of his city don't see it. They don't know what would bring them peace. Remember again Jesus' parable and the people who thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. They want peace to be brought down, enforced by God outwardly. fix my world. Ironically, that's kind of what the Romans promised. Pax Romana. Jesus came humbly, riding on a donkey's colt, but they miss it. And as they do, Jesus prophesies another day when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you. History tells us that day did come. Some 40 years later, it was the Romans as they enforced their version of peace at the edge of a sword. And just as Jesus prophesied, they did not leave one stone on another. Read Luke 19 today. Join the cheers of the crowd. Proclaim the King. But take heart, the King is coming back again. Will we be found faithful when he arrives?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.